Let's look at every relationship you're in. Think of your husband, your wife, your children, the people you love, whoever it is. Think of me, whoever it is, whoever you're in a relationship with in any way. Now, you're in this relationship. The person isn't here. So where does that put the relationship? Thought. Your relationships are pure thought. Can you ever get behind the eyeballs of another human being and be that person? The answer? No. You can never be the process that someone else is. You can only get to surfaces. You can never be them. So that your relationship to your husband or your wife is all thought. It's just all how you choose to process that person, since you can't be that person. You close your eyes, they're not there. You're still in the relationship, but you can't touch them, you can't see them, they're not there. It's thought. Every relationship you're in is in thought. Even when you're in the present moment and they're right there in front of you and they're right here and you got them and you're making love to them and you're right there and you're connected and you're right there. You're not them. You're always consigned to existential aloneness, as Camus said. You're always alone. Now, you're only lonely if you don't like the person you're alone with. That's the only time you can be lonely. But you're always alone. You're in this room. There's 600 people in this room. You're alone. Nobody can be your thought. Can they?
Relationships that work because there is no work. I've never liked the idea of having to work on my relationship. You know, I got to go to work all day, and I got to get in my car, and I got to go home, and what are you going to do? I got to go work on my relationship. I'm working all day, and I'm working all night, and it's the whole thing is a struggle. I do think there are certain kinds of things. Let's take a relationship first. You do have to be considerate of, and so on, but by and large, when you're in harmony with somebody, and when you're in that place that I call no limits, where you know that the person that you're in a relationship with is not that form or that body. That isn't, because right now I'm in a relationship with my wife and she's 2,000 miles away. That doesn't mean that because I'm not connected to her form right now, that relationship isn't there, doesn't exist. It's in thought. And when I get closer and closer and closer, when I get to the house and walk into the house and I see her, I'm still only processing her through my mind. It's still only thought. If what I have is loving thought, and that's up to me, that's totally up to me. What I don't have is judgmental thought, and that's up to me as well. And I don't have negative thought, that's up to me. I choose all of that. That's where I am as a human being. Then my relationship will always be perfect. You see, most people in relationships, they say this. Here's how it works. They say, I'm in a relationship. And someone says, oh, yeah, really? You're in a relationship? Yeah. We got problems. And someone say, oh, you've got problems in your relationship, yeah. Then the next conclusion is, there must be something wrong. There's got to be something wrong. You say, oh, let's see, now you're in a relationship and you've got problems, and so there's something wrong. So let's see, who am I going to call in to help me with this relationship? And, of course, you can't afford to have somebody coming in all the time, so you have to call on yourself. That's the only person or the other person who's in the relationship. But you're already calling in somebody who's wrong because you've just admitted that if you've got problems, there's something wrong. So what you're doing is you're calling in a disabled person to deal with the problems in your relationship because that person is now wrong. If you were going to call in a therapist to help you with the relationship and the therapist was really whiny and you know, I'm going to do this and you do that. That's the problem. Let's say that's the problem. The way we talk to each other in our relationship is, I do this and you do that and I'm going to do that. And you say, well, that's a problem. Now, there's something wrong. Like, who are we going to call in to fix it? Well, we're going to call in a therapist. And they walk in, the therapist walks in, and they say, well, what do you want? How come you're calling me all day? I've got to do this. You say, wait a minute. How's that person going to help me? That person's wrong. All right? Well, that's what you do in a relationship. When you say you've got problems and there's something wrong, or you say there's something missing, that's even funnier to me. I mean, what could be missing? There's nothing missing in your relationship. Like, you got to start looking for what isn't there. Everything that's there is what you've chosen to have. And everything that isn't there is what you've chosen to have. There's nothing missing. You are you, they are they, and that's it. There's nothing missing in your relationship. So what you have to do is you have to reverse that in a relationship, and you have to say, I'm in a relationship. You say, yeah. Say, we've got problems. Yeah, that's true. We do too. There's nothing wrong with that. In other words, now you don't have a wrong person, a disabled person who's got to come in and consult and help with the relationship. Every relationship has problems, has disagreements, has certain conditions that have to be resolved. But there's nothing wrong. In other words, nobody has to be wrong. Nobody has to be right. Most people in relationships spend most of their time in making the other person wrong, which means making themselves right. And they spend their whole life and energy on making somebody else wrong and making themselves right. Once you say, all right, well, my wife likes to do things this way and I like to do things that way, and you say to yourself, well, there's nothing wrong with that. She's who she is, I'm who I am, and she can do them that way, and that's perfectly fine, I understand that, and I'll do them my way. But I'm not going to make her wrong, and she's not going to make me wrong because I like to do it a certain way. She's much more fanatical about cleaning than I am. So she doesn't make that my problem. I don't make my not having to have everything orderly her problem. When she sees things that are left around that she doesn't like, she's perfectly willing to pick them up because she knows that that's what she wants. We don't have to have a fight about it. And that's really what enlightenment is. It's really just not having to call in a consultant who is wrong and trying to make somebody right and somebody wrong all the time. Every relationship has differences. And some people are going to think of it as right, and some people are going to think of it as wrong. Then you're going to always have problems. But if you understand that we're going to have conditions, we're going to have things that we don't like, we don't have to make anybody wrong. It's a wonderful approach to life. You're not busy making people wrong. If everybody could stop needing to take credit and needing to make somebody else wrong, you could improve about 99% of the relationships. I do this now with my wife. We do it kind of jokingly. The kids will come home and one of them will have done something that's really spectacular. And my wife will take the credit. You know, she'll say, well, I was the one that taught her how to do that. There was a time when I would have said, wait a minute, I'm the one who taught that. How dare you? Why are you taking the credit for what I taught? Now I will say, well, if I understand that we're all one. I understand the unity of this whole thing. And I do it with sort of a smug kind of laugh on my face. If you did it, then I did it. And I'm just as pleased. So congratulations. We'd kind of joke and say, oh, yeah, you did it, I did it, and all. But we just kind of laugh. We are now able to laugh at and treat, just sort of in an offhand way, things that previously would have caused dissension and difficulty. Because nobody has to make anybody wrong. And in fact, that is the truth. We are all one. All of us. Not just in the family, but the whole unit. We're all part of it. And if one person is succeeding, then all of us are. And if one is dying or hungry or hurting, then all of us are doing that as well. The way that you resolve any conflict that you have with somebody else is you don't expect somebody else to change in order for you to feel resolved. You just can't do it, you see. You can only visualize an image for yourself. You can't image for other people. Other people have their own path that they have to follow. They're tuned into, in the radio frequency, and they're tuned into a different frequency very often. So one of the things you can agree to do is to agree to disagree. And then you don't have to make anybody wrong. And consequently, you don't have to make yourself right. And the resolution of it, if you're complete with it, if you're whole with it inside, that's all you have to have. And if the other person sees it in a completely different way, many, many times my wife and I will leave an argument or a discussion or whatever you want to call it, a disagreement, just agreeing to disagree. I mean, she'll say, this is me, and this is how I was raised, and this is what I believe, and I can't see it the way that you see it. And I'll say, I see it my way. I mean, one of the examples I can think of is my need for privacy. Because I'm a writer, and I need time, and I have a very legitimate reason in my own mind to... I have an office where I can sleep and work and things like that, which is about 15 miles from our home. And I go there frequently, especially when I'm writing a book or writing an article or putting together a tape series or something like that. We also have 5 children. It's very difficult for me to do anything like that with a lot of children around. And I've justified that. And to me, that is the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. I am going to go down there and do the work that I have to do. On the other hand, she is home, and she has all these children, and she has responsibility for them. And she would love to have time to herself, which she doesn't get very often because she's nursing a baby, and she's got these little toddlers, and she's got all of these responsibilities in the home. And so what we have come to is an understanding that I understand that she needs that, and I try to give that to her as much as possible. Or what I have told her is figure out a way to get it without making me have to give up what we both know I have to have in order to support this family and in order to live. And so figure out a way to do it without anybody having to lose, without anybody having to have a lack. And she has pretty much done that. But we still basically have agreed that there are times when she will see it one way and I will see it my way, and I'm going to do this and she's going to do it this way, and we just simply disagree. And we can hug and kiss and love each other and still agree to disagree. It doesn't have to be resolved so that everybody gets it all the time. And then once you stop having to have somebody be wrong and somebody else be right, what she has done is figured out a way. It's costing me a little more money. But it's okay. I mean, she has gotten somebody to come in there 3 or 4 times a week to watch the children and gotten herself a place where that she can go away and work on her own book that she's working on childbirth and on her own tapes and all of that. And she takes the time now and does it. And she always used the excuse before that, well, I don't trust somebody with the children. They have to be somebody that I really trust. And you're the only person that I trust with the children because I know that you'll... I said, somebody that you trust will come along. They will come along. If you are open to it being a possibility for you, they'll come. They will come smashing right into your life. They'll almost knock you over. And sure enough, Kelly came into our life. And my wife came up to Chicago with me and left Kelly, this wonderful young person who is terrific with the children and who loves them and they love her. She actually left the children overnight and flew up to Chicago for me to get the Golden Gavel Award. Impossible for her to do a year ago. No consideration of that as a possibility. This beautiful person showed up in our lives who has become a part of our family. And she interviewed several people, and as soon as Kelly walked in the door, she said she knew. The instant that she walked in the door, this was the person. So it's like when you're open to it, in Buddhism they say when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. You know, and when you're ready, the person that you need to do that for you will appear. Then there's the issue of two people in a relationship in which one is supposedly, quote, enlightened. That's always me. Or that's always you. If you're the one, that's from your perspective. And one person isn't. In other words, one person wants to resolve it, and maybe the other person is someone who likes the conflict or wants the differences to stay. One of the things I've said about enlightened people is that they move away from conflict. And they move away from confrontation. They get beyond the point where they have to prove that they can deal with everything and that they can resolve every single issue. So when you see that you're in a relationship with someone like that, it's very much like when you're on the freeway and someone won't let you in. That person isn't wrong. You aren't right. That person sees you as wrong, just like you see them as wrong. And what you do is you just move on to the next person. You let them go and they're not going to let you in. That's fine. That's where they are at this moment. And then you move to the next person. And then, and eventually someone will come along that will... And if you're married to somebody like that, you let them know right there that it is resolved for you. That I have it resolved. And I'm not carrying it around anymore. And I still love you. And I still find you a terrific person to be with. But I am not going to buy into the trap of getting seduced into making you wrong or you making me wrong. I just won't buy it. I've resolved it for myself. You just don't let it... This really happened to me. I told it on The Tonight Show many years ago. Because I was in a rainstorm, real bad rainstorm in Fort Lauderdale, right at Sunrise Boulevard and A1A. When it rains real hard down there, it floods the streets. And I had gone through this huge puddle of water, and my car stalled. Right, so I was sitting there trying to get my car started, and in a real wet car. And there's a guy behind me honking his horn, just laying on his horn. All right. So what I did, I was with my wife, as I got out of the car, and I went back, and I said, "Excuse me." I said, "You obviously know how to correct this." I said, "I'll stay back here, and I'll lay on the horn here, and you go up and start my car, okay? Because obviously you must know how to do it." And he just looked real sheepish and he just moved on. But that's why it's like you can handle that as well. Well, if you're in a relationship with a controlling person who has, say, power over you in the sense that they sign your paycheck, what you do is you begin to understand that this is them, not you. You don't let other people's behavior own you any longer. I have to work for other people a lot. I have to give speeches, and when I do, I get paid for them, and when I get paid for them, I'm on their payroll, and they want certain things from me, and so on. But what happens there is you develop a kind of internal shield against the way that they're behaving. You understand that that's not you that they're talking to. And I think that talking to people in service professions, particularly waiters, for example, waitresses or stewardesses, flight attendants and cab drivers and all, that the highest functioning people in those professions are those who understand that those people are not talking to me. They're just talking to this role. And so they're treating this role this way, this role of waiter or waitress, and it has nothing to do with me. And so they begin to act at the highest levels towards those people. That is, when they send them anguish and hatred and bitterness, they send back love because that's all they have inside to send away. And they do the same thing with their bosses. You get to the point where you understand that these people are difficult, impossible, they're behaving in foolish and obnoxious ways, and that has nothing to do with me. That's not mine at all. And they send them back love even in response to that. And I don't know if you've ever tried to argue with somebody who refuses to argue with you, who's just not interested, who isn't going to play your game. You have to learn how to do that with children all the time because they're constantly trying to corner you or get you trapped into their illogic. And once you buy into it, you're just sucked in totally. And as you begin to awaken more and more, you find yourself less and less consumed with how these other people treat you. And if it gets too bad or too difficult for you, then what you do is you just move on. And you don't leave with any bitterness. You don't say he shouldn't be acting this way or she's just no good or whatever. You just move away. And what you do is you move away inside. Inside, the way that you process all of this is really the key. And the things that used to upset me in people, now I almost always turn into love situations. Almost always. Not too long ago, a meter maid was giving me a ticket on my car for $10 for like 30 seconds over on the... And my reaction to that 10 years ago would have been anger, how dare you, and all of that. And I just walked out to her, and I started talking to her, and I gave her a copy of one of my books. And she was like halfway through the ticket, and she was just determined that she was going to write this ticket. And I said, if you have to write the ticket, it's all right. I don't have any problem with you writing the ticket. You're a very pleasant, nice person. And I started talking to her, and I said, do you have any children and all that? And she tore the ticket up. Now, whether she would have or wouldn't have, it would have been okay. Because one of the attachments that I don't have any longer is to money. Or the belief that you have to have a bargain in everything that you do and you have to get the right price. I'm not attached to that any longer. And that's a growth for me. Because I used to believe that if you didn't get a bargain, you just shouldn't buy it. So you can take almost the worst of situations, and if all you have to give away is harmony, because that's all that you are, you can turn it into something very positive very quickly, very nicely. And especially if you're not attached to being upset or angry at the way that this person is treating you. If you really get that inside of you, that this is really not me that they're treating this way, because that me, the real essence of who I am, who is Wayne Dyer, is not this body that they are talking to. It's how I choose to think. It's my thoughts. And they can't have that. They can never have that. You just bypass that. What happens also is you begin to avoid conflict and confrontation. Now, a lot of people, and I believed this earlier in my life, that you have to prove that you can deal with something. The analogy that I used to use is that if there's a great big pile of manure in the road, in the middle of the road, there are some people who will be walking down the road and they see this great big, ugly, smelly, awful pile of manure, and they'll say, hey, I can deal with that. And they go in and they jump right into this pile, and then they smell all day long, and they've got all of this kind of... And then there's other people who say, you know, that's manure, and it's really smelly. If you get it on you, you're going to not feel very good, and it's got diseases in it, and certainly you're not going to be welcomed in social circles and so on. So you just walk around it. The more enlightened you get, the more you begin to realize that conflict is a violation of harmony, and that if you participate in it, you become part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. And it gets easier and easier and easier to avoid conflict and confrontation when you don't have to be right anymore, when you see other people as where they are on their own path, and you let them be there. If they want to be all upset because their remote control isn't working right now, and if that's where they want to be, then that's absolutely fine. And I do this with my children all the time. They get an emotional attachment to whether this person calls or whether they have to do the dishes or any number of things. I don't even talk about it anymore. These are your responsibilities. You live here. You understand that. I'm not going to join you. I'm just not going to get seduced into having this kind of... And you move away from it. And it isn't like you're acting. At first it is. At first you have to sort of act it out. And then you just slowly move away from it and move away. And then after a while you don't even notice it. And conflict isn't in your life any longer. And if enough of us did that, if enough human beings just sort of shied away from conflict and confrontation, just imagine how much war we could eliminate. All the kinds of things that you see people just obsessed by, if you just saw conflict and confrontation as something that isn't going to be a part of your life anymore. You don't have to be a wimp. You don't have to be pushed around. You don't have to have anybody victimizing you at all. You just simply refuse to participate in anything that's going to drag you down. You just don't have to go there. And you don't have to beat anybody up in order to prove that you're better than somebody else. All you've proven is that you can beat somebody else up. That's all you've proven. It doesn't make you right. It doesn't make them wrong. That's within you. And when you don't need to be that, and you understand where the people are, you just move on from that.
This is the end of Side 6. Side 5 is already queued up for your next listening.